But now, when I turn to see, there's a perfect shadow cast of me. 6 more weeks of winter there will be.
I don't know who's cheering for 6 more weeks of winter, but yes, Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow, which does in fact mean 6 more weeks of winter. Paul, what's the basketball equivalent of 6 more weeks of winter?
Probably watching the worst teams in the NBA night in and night out until the season ends.
Yes, it's like NBA League Pass, but you only get teams that are out of the playoff picture. Like if that was what was on your TV, yeah, that would be bad. That would be bad. Well, there you go. Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols. I've got 2 NBA champs. We've got our resident coach, NBA Fizdale. Of course, 2 rings with an assistant as Miami Heat. And 1998. Paul, you're not that old. 2008, finals MVP, Paul Pierce. Always very, very happy when you guys can both be here. We got LA represented up here today. Coming up, we're also going to talk LeBron because he had an interesting interaction with some courtside fans in Atlanta last night. Should there be fans this close at all right now? Well, LeBron actually said he's happy to have these lovely women in the arena. We will get into all of that in just a minute. Now that we've passed the quarter mark of the shortened NBA season, we have a pretty good feel of what a lot of teams' identities are. The Nets are a wild scoring machine. The Clippers are relentless. The Lakers are polished. The Sixers, who last year looked constantly stuck in cement, now have that smooth grooviness feel as they currently rule the East. But there are still plenty of teams trying to figure out exactly who and what they are. And the Suns and Mavericks, well, those are 2 of them. Both had high expectations going into the year. Both have had struggles with injuries and with COVID. But after a 3-day stretch in which they faced each other twice, only one of them seems to have found its footing. In fact, with last night's win, the Suns have now won 3 straight, pushing them to 6th in the West and only a half a game out of 4th. And the game, it wasn't pretty, but that's kind of the point. The ability to pull through a rough outing is one of the qualities that separates out whether teams really have it or not. And last night, Phoenix fell behind by as much as 11 before fighting its way to a thriller of a finish. Not surprisingly, Phoenix's backbone in this game was 35-year-old Chris Paul. 34 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. It was Chris who kept his teammates focused during a tug-of-war 4th quarter. And when the Suns found themselves down by 2 with less than a minute on the clock, it was Chris who ran a play that his old and now once again coach Monty Williams noted that he stole from CP's other old coach Doc Rivers. Take a listen.
Either Chris Paul or Devin Booker will be involved here.
It is Paul with 6 seconds. Paul guarded well by Kleba. Now Booker squares up for 3 over Richardson with 1.5 left. Suns go in front. Dallas takes a timeout.
That was a brilliant executed play.
It really was. Nice screen by Ayton there, by the way. CP threading the pass despite being guarded by Kleba's 7-foot wingspan. And then Devin Booker with a clutch shot, just 1.5 on the clock. Now, technically, Booker wasn't supposed to even be in the game at that point. This was his first game back from a hamstring strain, and he was on a minutes restriction he had already surpassed. Here is Williams explaining.
I imagine if I would have taken Book out in the 4th, that would have been the first time you've seen a player knock a coach out on the sideline. So I just thought I'd stay away from that scenario and let him play as long as he was looking good.
Amazing. As for CP and Booker, the big brother, little brother relationship the Suns front office had hoped for when they traded for Chris seems to have fully taken root. After the game, CP says the 2 have reached a point they can push each other without mincing words, while Book said he's pretty much open to anything CP tells him.
You know, he's been in every situation, you know, that I want to get to. You know, so I have the cheat code of being alongside of him, his backcourt mate. You know, from on the court to off the court, just everything he does, you know, I'm a sponge to it.
I was telling the guys in the locker room, I don't know if I can ever retire because the emotional roller coaster that you go on during the game, like, for real, like, there's no high like that. The energy, you know, when you pissed and mad and then – to, you know, the joy of winning the games.
As for the Mavericks, well, their post-game press conferences not nearly as chipper. Dallas had a foul to give before Book hit the game winner, but Kleba didn't use it on Paul, the exact kind of messed up detail that has plagued Dallas in what is now a six-game losing streak. As for Doncic, well, remember a few days ago he said, quote, "It's looking like we don't care." Doncic was more positive last night, saying the Mavericks were close to climbing out of their slump, which is true. But just like the Suns' ability to fight through adversity for a win tells you something, the Mavericks' inability to do so is also telling right now. Dallas has choked up multiple leads during its losing streak. In fact, the past 12 times that Dallas has found itself in a one-score game, it's lost all 12 times, which is not what you want. The Mavericks are also the league's worst three-point shooting team and ranked 13th in the overall West standings, not just outside the playoff picture, but outside play-in game range as well. And look, we are only a little bit more than a quarter of the way through the season. There is time for the Mavericks to get it together. The Suns could still fall apart. But we are starting to feel like we know who these teams are, and that is a much nicer feeling for one of them than the other. Paul, at this point in the season, who are the Suns to you?
They're a legitimate playoff team. I'm going off what I saw from them last year in the bubble. They added Chris Paul. And that's all I think this team really needed was some leadership. He developed a culture there in Phoenix, a well-respected veteran who knows how to win. And, you know, this team hasn't been to the playoffs in a long time. So playoff expectations are right in front of their eyes, and I think they can make it.
Absolutely. Paul, you are hitting it on the head, and I think we got to give a lot of credit to James Jones, my guy from the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
I won titles with him. I think he had a vision from the beginning. He brought in Monty Williams to go with Devin Booker, a guy that's going to hold him accountable, a guy that's going to run dynamic stuff for him, and then they finished it off with Chris Paul. And Chris Paul, we know he is the ultimate competitor. I guarantee you this guy plays horseshoes. He gets pissed if he loses. So you put him together with a guy like Devin Booker, and those two guys working together, like Devin Booker's a smart kid. You heard everything he said was the exact right thing you want to hear from him. And those two together, that's a playoff basketball team, and I wouldn't want to match up with them.
Now, Paul, Monty was talking about how he kind of lifted that play, as everyone in the NBA does, right? Y'all borrow from each other. It's a play that Doc Rivers used to run for Chris Paul and J.J. Redick. Do you recognize that from when you played with those guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a play we ran even for Ray Allen out in Boston. Mm-hmm. I've seen that play come through on many, many occasions.
And there we go. Well, it worked for the Suns last night. Certainly, Chris, again, 35 years old and continuing to do it, changing the fate, it looks like, of this team to get into the playoffs. If they do, if they make it, they had the second longest streak in the NBA not getting in. So this will be a great, great step forward for them. Let's go on to the Lakers, continuing their road dominance last night with a win over the Hawks. But the interaction between LeBron and a Hawks fan courtside, that was the story. The fan was ejected, eclipsing all the other headlines from the game. Here's LeBron's take on what happened. Actually, very generous.
I'm happy fans are back in the building. I miss that interaction. I need that interaction. We as players need that interaction. I don't feel like it was warranted to be kicked out. There was a back and forth between two grown men. And we said our piece, he said his piece, I said my piece. And then when someone else jumped into it and said their piece. But I didn't think they were, you know, should have been kicked out. But they might have had a couple of drinks maybe, and they could have probably kept it going and the game wouldn't have been about the game no more. So I think the referees did what they had to do.
Maybe they had some drinks. Who knows? There is only fans in 9 arenas right now, guys. Only 5 of those arenas, which does include Atlanta, allows fans to sit courtside. Now, it's important to note those courtside seats no closer than 10 feet from the court. All the fans in this arena are tested. But this is the first type of tight fan interaction with players that we have seen since the coronavirus age began, Fizz. We are still fighting this pandemic. Do you feel fans should be allowed to sit this close right now?
I do. I think it's fine. If they're tested, and I know Adam Silver wouldn't take any chances, I do think we got to start trickling the fans back in. And I agree with him. Unless something crazy was said, You know, this is the normal banter that goes on during the NBA game courtside. And so the only reason it stands out is because it's not a lot of people in the building. So it looks like it's more than it is. But if that was a packed building, come on, let's be real about it. No one would be kicking her out of the game right now. Right? It would just be a normal. It's about 30 other people in a packed building saying the same stuff, if not worse. And so that was, you know, unfortunately, it's an empty building for it. But I do believe that we should start working our fans back in as the health codes allow it.
Listen, Rach, I enjoyed nothing more than going on the road and having a great conversation with the fans. I mean, that's something that really got me going. That's something I totally enjoyed, and I'm glad to see it. I mean, LeBron had a great answer. He, you know, yeah, it was some back and forth. They said their piece, but that's sometimes that gets players going. As long as it's done in the right way. I mean, look at LeBron is always interacting with the fans. I mean, that's part of the game. I loved it, especially on the road. I love to do that.
No, you are definitely one of the players, Paul, who I always felt that from. And LeBron has openly said, right? Remember at the beginning of all of this, he said, I don't even want to play without fans in the building. Some of you guys get so geeked up by it that it really makes a difference in your on-court play. And Fizz, we saw with LeBron right earlier just in the same road trip, when a member of the Cavaliers front office made a little bit too celebratory of a celebration of his miss, what happened there too, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's just going to be what it is. It's part of the chirp. Like a guy like LeBron and a guy like Paul Pierce, when they go on the road, they don't want that fan to get kicked out. They're going to rip their heart out during the game.
Yeah.
They're going to try to dominate your team more. They're going to utterly destroy your team. And don't, God forbid, let it come down to the last shot. I've been on the other end of the Paul Pierce buzzer beaters. It hurts badly. Actually, I've been on the end of multiple. So, you know, those guys live for that moment. And so I just think right now, without a big crowd and guys seeking motivation and needing that extra oomph to really get up for these games, I think those kind of fans are kind of needed.
Well, LeBron certainly said the most gracious thing possible afterward, and then his tweet saying, courtside Karen, mad, 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 pretty exceptional as well. Now it is time for...
The ball deserves to go in the crowd after a bull move like that.
I think it's bull.
I just thought it was bull.
Don't give me that crap!
That old Doc Rivers clip makes me happy every single time, guys. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, still here with Paul Pierce, David Fizdale. It is time for one of our favorite games here on The Jump, BS or Real Talk. We give you the quotes. You tell us how true you think they are. So starting with Steph Curry, who was asked about Tom Brady's longevity ahead of the Super Bowl. Much like Brady, Curry believes he can have an extended prime. Here's Curry when asked about championship windows. Take a listen.
You're thinking this year and next year, and you're thinking, you know, with Klay coming back, you're thinking about all those different things. But right now, who's to say, you know, we can't put pieces together? We have, you know, I'm in the middle of my prime and thinking about, you know, just all the things that we've gone through over the last 4 or 5 years that we can kind of build on. It's hard to say what the actual, you know, number is, but I think we're in a good spot right now. Let's put it that way.
You just said you feel like you're in the middle of your prime. How far do you think you can stretch that for?
We're going to find out.
I mean, Paul, Steph said he feels like he's just in his 20s, saying he's in the middle of his prime. Do you think that's BS or real talk?
That's real talk. He's an all-time player, Rach. And all-time players find a way each and every year. His prime, he doesn't rely on a lot of athleticism. The way he handles the ball, the way he shoots, he can be doing this for another 6-7 years. I truly believe that. If they get some pieces around him, the magic can happen for them again.
Yeah, this is real talk. I mean, you think about it. We're comparing him to Tom Brady. Tom Brady is showing everybody with technology and science and everything we know about nutrition that these guys can play long into their 40s now. And so that's a contact sport. You're telling me Steph Curry can't do it in the NBA with the way that he plays the game, and his game, again, like Paul said, is based on a lot of skill and shooting and things like that. I don't see why it couldn't be. This guy, when he got hurt, it wasn't like he got old man injuries. He had a real injury that happened, you know, freakishly. So yeah. This guy's going to come back, and pick up where he left off. We've already seen him have big games, and as they put those pieces back together, like he said, we're going to be talking about Golden State like we usually do.
I mean, certainly the way Curry plays does lend itself to an old man game. Not that he needs to have one right now. He's still way too young for that. But the point is, his game is going to age well in the league. The question with him was the injuries, and Fizz, you're right. It's not because he had sort of old and creaky injuries, but there was a point in his career he was injury prone, and certainly right now, without Clay on the active on the court, teams are going at him. They're double and triple teaming him. They are physically roughing him up. So the only concern I would have is, gee, is that kind of thing going to take a wear and tear on him or reignite some sort of injury that hasn't surfaced in years and years? But I don't expect it to. I expect Steph Curry to be Steph Curry. And again, the way he plays basketball tells me that prime is going on for a long time.
Yes, indeed.
Now, I want to get to the Nets because a lot of people have had thoughts. Paul, I know you have had thoughts on the Nets defense. Isaiah Thomas, now the younger one, not Zeke, the younger one, the one who was just named to Team USA, joining the conversation as he watched that Nets-Wizards thriller on Sunday. Here's what IT shared on Twitter, quote, "Who plays defense in the NBA? Nobody, LOL. You can't win how the game is called. It's an offensive game. Even the best defenders are getting 30 put on their head every night." Paul, do you think that IT saying that nobody plays defense anymore is BS or real talk?
I think it's real talk. I mean, in today's game, it's tough to play defense, right? There's a lot of switching. The rules are geared toward the offensive players. You can't have any kind of physicality. And so, I mean, that's why you're seeing these astronomical numbers getting put up. You're seeing guys average triple-doubles. Guys are putting up numbers we haven't seen in this league in ever. And so, you know, the defense is almost non-existent. But it's fun to watch. You know, when you see the Nets go out there and score 140 and lose scoring 140, I mean, that's, man, it's exciting. But, yeah, I don't think there's any defense being played much.
You know, I'm going to disagree a little bit from the standpoint of, I think under the rules that are out there, I think coaches and teams, there are some great defensive teams. I think we got to readjust our lens and start looking at the fact that the scores are going to be higher. Now, how do you judge a defense based on the explosion in scoring? And I think that there are coaches that are doing a great job of, under the circumstances of the league rules and the way teams are playing with the speed and the spacing, that there are coaches putting together great defensive systems to give themselves a chance to win and to win big.
Well, it's funny talking about the Nets in this context because they're almost like their own traveling all-star game when they play, right? They've got multiple big-name players, and the scores are in the 140s, so it feels like an all-star game, but that's not enough for the NBA, guys. Coming up, we're going to talk about the latest update on the all-star game that the NBA is negotiating with players over that would happen in March in Atlanta. Is it a good idea? We will explore all the latest in the next segment. First, though, here's what The Jump recommends for today. Today at 4 Eastern on YouTube, I really wanted to get this out to everyone. They're going to have a celebration of Sekou Smith's life. You can click on the link in this tweet on Sekou Smith's Twitter account. His family has put a link up there where you can watch. Everyone in the NBA community misses Sekou so much. Man. This is going to be such a nice opportunity for those to share stories, hear from his family. I'm really happy they're doing this, and I want to make sure everyone knows about it. Our continued condolences to everyone who loved him, which, frankly, was everyone. All right, guys. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting the path toward the All-Star game being played March 7th is progressing, not only with the game itself in Atlanta, but also having a skills challenge that same night. Paul, with the logistics, added risk, and holding a secondary event, how are you feeling about this move right now?
You know what, Rachel? This is one of my favorite times of the year, just seeing the stars come together. I'm glad that the NBA is moving toward trying to make something happen. I mean, this is when you get to see all the stars on one court playing together. You always put in your head, what if?
Yes.
What if these guys play with each other? And that's what's so fun about watching the All-Star game.
Yeah, this is, I'm really happy they're doing this. This is, I think it's important. You know, it's showing progress, but I also think on a deeper level it's important because the NBA made a commitment to social justice, to getting people out to vote. And a lot of that resonated in the state of Georgia, right there also in the hotbed of Atlanta. And so I think it's an opportunity for the NBA to not only bring out the stars, like Paul said, and make it so fun for everybody in a time that we need it, but also think it gives them a chance to show people that we haven't forgotten about our message when it comes to criminal justice and when it comes to voting and doing the right thing. So I really hope they go forward with this, and I'm looking forward to watching it.
Well, I love that idea. And as we saw, certainly with LeBron and the Atlanta Hawks fan, there's fans in the building in Atlanta. I don't know if they've decided yet whether there would be fans in the building for an All-Star game. I hate to be the one bringing up the, like, maybe safety. I know it's boring. I too love All-Star. It's one of my favorite events of the year. I think it represents the best of what this league is about. And people in the league office have pointed out to me that the Players Association really is on board with this. They're not making the players do this. The players want to be doing it, as you just heard from Paul. That being said, it is mixed messaging to tell teams you can't even high-five or hug each other. It is mixed messaging to be postponing games in advance. They kind of changed the way they were approaching postponements and saying, hey, if a team has a positive, we're going to postpone a game or two so that it doesn't mix with another team and have on-court transmission. If that is your attitude towards safety right now, taking 24 guys from 20 different teams and mixing them all up with no pre-quarantine period and then sending them back to their home markets, it is a higher risk. I hope nothing comes of it. I hope they get lucky if this happens. I hope everyone's happy, healthy, and safe. I'm not looking for anything to go wrong, but I'm concerned, and I would be remiss if I didn't express that. So let's see. Let's cross our fingers and see what happens. I do want to get to something else that happened last night, because the two teams in the league with the longest winning streaks are, just like we expected, the Grizzlies and the Rockets. Memphis won its seventh straight last night, routing the Spurs. The Grizz haven't lost since January 7th, people. Now, they were paused for nearly 2 weeks in that stretch due to COVID protocols. Again, just relating to what I was just talking about. Anyway, the Rockets won their sixth in a row over the Thunder while hitting a franchise record 28 threes. Paul, I just want to say that one more time. Now, without James Harden on the team, is when they set a game franchise record for threes. So what streak impresses you more, the Grizzlies streak or the Rockets streak?
Well, I think that the Grizzlies streak impresses me more. I think the Rockets have a lot of talent over there with Oladipo, John Wall. But this guy right here, he's my favorite player in the league to watch, Ja Morant. I mean, who expected Memphis to come out like this? I mean, a lot of people are just casual fans, couldn't even tell you the other four starters on this team. But this team is exciting to watch. He's one of the great young stars we have in this league, and I'm excited for Memphis moving forward. They had a chance to make the playoffs. Hopefully they do this year, because Ja Morant is something special.
I like that, Paul. He is electric. But I got to tell you, I'm so impressed with Houston right now. They had more turmoil going on than any other team in the league by far. So many things swirling around them. You got guys trying to reboot their career. You bring in Oladipo late. You know, a lot of these guys didn't get to play together or do training camp. And all that time, that Harden stuff was hanging over them. And so to see them, you know, really, you know, forging ahead and putting a good season together where everybody thought that that team was most likely going to be out of the playoff picture early on, man, you got to give a lot of credit to Coach Silas and the coaching staff, because, you know, that was a lot of noise they was dealing with. And for them to have this team playing this well, I think it's awesome.
Look at those numbers, by the way, that we just flashed up against the Rockets. I believe first in defense since the deal, right? Since the trade, first in defensive efficiency. I mean, that's remarkable. Now, the offensive efficiency, a little bit different, but first in defensive efficiency, really, really impressive for that team. All right, guys, up
yes,
next,
indeed.
We got a star-studded matchup tonight between the Clippers and Nets. If you're just talking about those two teams, who has a better chance of hoisting the trophy this summer? We will get into that. It's crunch time here on The Jump. And thank you, Laura, by the way. Age 40, Sue Bird, returning to the Seattle Storm. She spent her entire WNBA career there, starting in 2002. Now, Paul, you didn't retire till you were 39. So I feel you've got some simpatico with Sue here, but you did switch teams. How impressive is this that she's managed this?
This is impressive, and she's still doing it at a high level. It just shows a testament of her hard work. She's excited. I love Sue Bird. I followed her since college, and Man, the players today, they can play longer than ever before because of the dedication they put to their bodies and the hard work they put in on the court.
We're starting to see a theme around
yes.
here. Chris Paul, Tom
yep.
Brady, Steph Curry.
LeBron James.
Now we got Sue Bird.
Yep.
Yeah, athletes are going to play longer. They're going to stay stronger and healthier. It's like I said, it's just too many things out there to help them. But I'm just happy as a fan to get to watch Sue Bird play more basketball because, like
Amen.
Paul said, she's
Absolutely.
Still killing
yes.
them out there. She
yes.
is still winning and winning at a high level, so I love it.
And I love sort of the way she's been entrenched, and that whole team has been entrenched in the Seattle community, the way the athletes on different teams in that market support each other. Russell Wilson wearing a Sue Bird jersey earlier this season. And it's funny, every time I hear people say, oh, they got to bring basketball back to Seattle. Basketball is in Seattle, thank you. We would like the Sonics back.
No,
I said it at the
name.
Beginning of this show. But Seattle has basketball, thank you very much. And now they have more of Sue Bird. All right, guys, Monday's Pistons-Nuggets game postponed last night, minutes before its scheduled tip due to contact tracing within the Pistons, the NBA announced. There was an inconclusive test. Fizz, do you like the way the NBA handled this?
I mean,
yeah,
this is
I think this
so
is
unusual.
The right thing.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Paul.
I mean, yeah,
Sorry,
I mean,
Paul,
they have to do... No, they have to do what they have to do. I mean, we've been through, we're in some unusual times to where so many games have been postponed due to the contact tracing. And, you know, this is for the safety measurements for the league and the players. And, you know, I applaud them for making that decision.
Simple for me. You can replay games. You can't relive lives.
That is a great way to put it. Again, though.
Absolutely.
Bringing up the question, and this is what I was referring to in the last segment with the All-Star game. What if they get an inconclusive right before the All-Star game? And by the way, this is a window into, right? This is a window into how the league is handling this now. Again, they made sort of a switch about 3 weeks ago saying we are going to take sort of the extra layer of precaution, not just removing the player, but actually postponing the game because of the chance. And we still don't know what it is, but they felt like there was enough of a chance of on-court spread, on-court contact, which they originally were not that concerned about. They have now become more concerned about. So if you are doing this for regular games on a Monday night, I am curious how are you going to guard against this for the All-Star game. But again, let's wait and see what happens because we all want one. It would be fun if we had one. Let's guys go over to Malik Monk because he came off the bench last night, had his best scoring night of his career, dropping 36 points, helped lead the Hornets. They beat the Heat in overtime. Paul, we were talking in the break. You've always liked Monk since he was in college, right?
Yeah, I like the way he's been professional. Malik Monk has not been getting a lot of playing time. And for him to come in when the opportunity calls for it, that just shows his professionalism. And I just hope moving forward they can find some minutes for this guy because this guy can play. I mean, it's obvious. Look at what he was able to do after not playing many minutes, come out and get you a career high. He can help a team out.
Yeah, he can. He could definitely be that fire plug off the bench, you know, that can score points in big numbers. He's got that size like Lou Williams. He's not a big guy, but he's savvy, he's quick, he knocks down shots. And the guard core for Charlotte moving forward, their future
yeah.
is looking pretty bright.
Really, really fun. All right, guys, a notable matchup on national TV tonight. The Clippers are playing the Nets. The Clippers own the league's best record as they face off against the Nets on the road. So, Fizz, if you were just saying those teams, if those teams ended up in the finals against each other, who would you pick for the title?
That's not right.
Well, these are the teams that are
that
playing tonight, Fizz.
Tough,
this is what I got.
I mean, that's how you gonna hit me, huh?
Yep.
Well, right now, today, I'm picking the Clippers, if you're gonna put pressure on me like that, just because they've been together longer and they really defend. They take pride in their defense. They're more connected right now defensively. But obviously, for these two teams to make it, health will be a huge issue for both teams. All both teams have to get through this season healthy. But I got to go with the Clippers just because they really play both ends of the floor right now.
Yeah, I got to go with the Clippers, too. I mean, when you look at the Clippers, they have the only two wingmen that can possibly match up well versus the Nets. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is a great defender, Paul George, too. And if you want two guys in the NBA on the same team guarding Kevin Durant and James Harden, those are the two guys that you want on them. And I don't see no other team in the league with that combination of defenders that can match up with these guys all night. And so I have to go with the Clippers.
I'm fascinated to see this matchup. I think it's going to be fantastic and really a test for Steve Nash's group of when their attention is served and when they know they have to lock down, can they do it? These guys have shown that they can play team defense, even if none of them are sort of lights out defenders on their own. And they got to do it, though. As Steve has said, they haven't been doing it yet. And they'll freely admit that. Kyrie said every guy was going past him the other night. So I hope that they can find their focus and give us a really good basketball game. The matchup looks incredible. Time for our League Pass game of the night, gentlemen. Six games on the slate, including two on TNT. So our producers are banned, I tell you, from choosing any national TV games. They had to go with Blazers-Wizards, which, hey, that's tonight at 8 Eastern, and both Dame Lillard and Russell Westbrook coming off hitting those insane game winners. And they have a history going back and forth, too, Paul. You know that. So what do you expect from this matchup tonight?
Oh, man, is there a better matchup between Russell Westbrook and Dame Lillard? You know, two competitive guys. Dame Lillard has put Russell Westbrook out the playoffs, and you know how competitive Westbrook is. And he's coming off his best game of the season and right in time because Dame Lillard, he's going to be up at his game, and so will Russell Westbrook. I love these two guards, two of my favorite in the league.
I love it the same way, but you got two uniquely different guards, right? You got Lillard, who's a bomber. You got Westbrook, who's just a downhill attacker. They already got history of chirping and going at each other. There's been some heartbreak in that competitiveness, and so I can't wait to watch this one. I love seeing those two guys go head-to-head. They are going to put on a show for us.
Paul, it's so interesting watching Russ. Now, he took that time off injury-wise to just sort of rest and rejuvenate to a little extra bit to make sure that he came back healthy. But he's clearly figuring out how to play now. Paul, what would you advise Russ as he's aging in the game here of what he needs to do to continue to adjust?
Well, Russ has to continue to just – I think this is the thing. Sometimes Russ doesn't understand, you know, stop and going. What I mean by that, you know, he plays at one speed.
Yes.
And as he gets older, you know, as that athleticism starts to decline, he has to figure out different ways that he can be effective. We already know what he can do rebounding the ball and passing, but as he gets older and he's not as explosive to the basket, just finding that medium. And what I saw in those highlights, he went back to the medium range, something I thought he abandoned for a couple years. And I think that was an important part of his offensive game. Instead of settling for so many threes, play to your strengths. And I think he could be a big guard you could put in the post and make plays from there also.
What do you think, Fizz?
I think you hit it on the head. Both of those areas are sweet spots. I think him being back with his old coach who really knows how to use him is going to put him in the right positions, and hopefully he can stay healthy so we can see that Russell Westbrook that we're used to.
Well, hopefully tonight's a barn burner. NBA just announcing LaMelo Ball and Tyrese Halliburton as the NBA Rookies of the Month, so congrats to them.